Money in markets, U.S. dollar index down almost 5% so far for the year. It's broken the $100 line. And I think the clear message to the world watching Washington is it's not leadership that's inspiring. Washington certainly doesn't appear like it's under adult supervision. And I have to say, I don't think that's the president's fault. So you have a group of people who really are not interested in making America great. They're interested in making themselves or their pocketbooks great. The corruption, the depth of the corruption is extraordinary. Fixed income is doing a little bit better as a result. The long treasury is up now 4.5%, the intermediate up 2.75%, the bond aggregate up 2.2%, and junk bonds still cooking along at almost 3.70%. Equities have backed off a little bit. The S&P now up 6.4% for the year. Home builders at up 10.5%. Given the behavior going on in Washington, the Democrats backed off today in a big way. It wouldn't surprise me if what happened in the stock market scared them. Truly, if this tanks the stock market, Washington witch hunting and warring is going to be blamed. Particularly because if you're busy witch hunting, you don't have time to do health care or tax reform. And so tax reform is certainly looking more remote this year, and the Senate is getting nowhere. The nowhere on health care. And anyway, we are coming into summer, so we are overdue for a correction. Be prepared for a 10 to 20% correction before October. I see no sign of anything that would say that we're not still in a bull market, although the financial system could always hit a bump, but a 10 to 20% correction would be perfectly normal. And of course, Wall Street could make a lot of money on a correction like that. So that absolutely increases the chances it could happen. Clearly the international and emerging markets doing better. Europe up 16.2%, Germany up 15.7%. The developed markets minus North America up 13%. That's more than double the S&P for the year. China up 12.47%. That's large cap. Small caps up almost 10%. And the emerging market ETF up 15.08%. The commodity index now down 5.2%. Gold up 8.39%. Silver up 4%. And oil still dragging its heels down 16.5%. Ooh, that's painful. And it's amazing that junk can continue to do as well as it is with oil that far down. More U.S. strikes on Syria from NBC News today. United States launched an airstrike against pro-Syrian forces, which had advanced into, quote, deconflicted zone, even though Russia urged the U.S. not to do it. And according to NBC News, the airstrike appears to be the first publicly known direct confrontation between U.S. forces and fighters loyal to Syrian President Assad. So big question mark. The effort over the last week or two to promote war in Syria has been a redoubling of efforts. Interestingly enough, right before last week's meeting in Washington, both at State Department and the White House with Foreign Minister Lavrov from Russia, Paul Craig Roberts on April or published the following. On April 26, 16 days ago, the deputy chief of the main operations directorate of the Russian Armed Forces stated at the Moscow International Security Conference that the operations command of the Russian General Staff has concluded that Washington is preparing a nuclear first strike on Russia. Imagine that. A nuclear first strike on Russia. That's not a good sign. Craig Roberts' article was called, Are You Prepared to Die? In the meantime, numerous Washington News published an article accusing Syria of a quote-unquote probable crematorium as one of its prisons. Syria flatly denied it. If I have to guess, I'm going to side with Syria. It just, You know, it continues to look like an unending drip, drip, drip of neocon fake news, all trying to start a major war and put us back on the 7 countries and 5-year plan, which I've talked about consistently over the last couple weeks. Anyway, this all followed an Arab state's overture to Israel before the president's trip to Middle East, a peace overture. So now the president is headed both to Europe and the Middle East, including the G7 meeting in Sicily. So let's see what this brings. But we know, we expect to see, and we've heard in the headlines, big arms sales into Saudi Arabia. But you definitely get the feeling that the military-industrial complex is extremely eager for more and very expensive wars. And it's another reason why the shriek-o-meter is shrieking so loud in Washington, because, in fact, if there's no money for health care and there's no money for tax reform, how come we can afford to have so many wars? Important question. Venezuela is experiencing a serious collapse. This is, I would describe it as more of a hit than a collapse. I've looked for different ways to donate and haven't been able to find one, which is interesting. It's almost as though the United States has made it almost impossible to help. If anybody knows a good way to donate and to help people in Venezuela, let me know. The Puerto Rico bankruptcy proceeding has started with its first day in federal court this week. Puerto Rico has $74 billion of bond debt, and then if you add to that unfunded pensions, you've got $123 billion. And you have many different kinds of bonds, and there's real disagreement. It's not legally clear what the, you know, who has what priority. I'm going to keep trying to watch this bankruptcy because it's going to be very relevant if we see what happens here. It's not a binding precedent on municipal reorganizations or bankruptcies in the United States, but I think it will be an influential one. So I'm very curious to see what happens and how the different bondholders behave, because if you look at the bondholders on any municipality in this country, it's going to be a very similar cast of characters. So it's worth watching closely. Weather reports. I continue to see reports about weather impacting crops. So I want you to keep an eye on that, and I want you to keep an eye on food prices and continue to pay attention to where your food comes. Anything you can do to establish relationships and find sources of good local foods, good local food with farmers, local farmers, I just think it's food security could be an issue, particularly food quality. So you really want to care where your food comes from, and you really want to do everything you can to build resiliency into your food supply. Global hack. We've seen ransomware for the last 2 weeks, really said to be from the tools hacked from the NSA that exploit legacy Microsoft software. But it's been a very uncomfortable process, reminding all of us that we keep getting more and more dependent on a system that doesn't have integrity. And it's interesting. Russia and China have come out and publicly blamed the United States, basically saying, if you're going to make this stuff, you shouldn't let it out, which is, of course, absolutely true. George Friedman, the former head of Stratfor, who now has a new firm, Geopolitical Futures, wrote the following, and I wanted to read it. I thought it was a very astute comment. The computer industry is now in a position of the auto industry in the 1960s. Reluctant to provide seatbelts, airbags, or other safety features, car makers encountered government regulation. Then, with the principle of regulation established, the government went far beyond safety. In my view, the computer industry is naive and not thinking about the long-term consequences of its reluctance to evolve in security. The problem of anonymity. Anonymity is one of the roots of the problem. Vandals and criminals are rarely caught because the principle of anonymity is built into the internet. This problem has been compounded by the introduction of bitcoins, a form of financial transaction that attempts to maintain the anonymity of its users. The problem with anonymity is that while fostering freedom, it inevitably enables criminals to use that freedom for their ends. The attacker's demand for bitcoins in the latest event makes this point clear. This paradox, where the right to act without government scrutiny aligns with the rise of ruthless criminality, isn't new. As an empirical matter, however, a banking system that does not take responsibility for exposing criminals will find the state taking that role. This is very much a geopolitical problem. It is not only, as many argue, that the current system enables cyber warfare between states, but also that it facilitates organized crime on a global level. This problem is aided by an industry that builds products that make cyber warfare and criminality relatively easy, an internet that makes identifying criminals and state actors relatively difficult, and now a banking system that is designed to make the finances of the Borgias and Medicis appear the essence of ethics. As a practical matter, what this situation will lead to either is the ever deeper corruption of the state and insecurity of personal wealth, or the state imposing itself on the global computing system in as heavy-handed a way as possible. The idea that we're helpless in the face of cyber warfare, constant vandalism, and now criminal extortion, if true, will lead to the collapse of computing. Computing has become indispensable, but it is its very indispensability facing constant threat that will cause its collapse. You cannot be both indispensable and incredibly vulnerable. As for me, the virtue of legal pads for important matters is becoming manifest. So, as I've said before, how can we have the Internet of Things if the Internet has no integrity? Now, what does this mean to you? If you can use Linux, if you can use open source software, please do. It's not surprising that this was a Microsoft problem. So anything you can do to get into Linux and open source, I would recommend it. Retail competition. We've seen online sales growing for years, but now they're going up an S-curve. It's hitting physical retail hard. It's also hitting municipal budgets, where municipal budgets depend on that sales tax. So we're also seeing with this real competition on groceries, including online sales. So expect that retail competition to begin to have a much more dramatic impact around you. U.S. policies, there's a lot going on, so let me just run through them. The White House says they're going to renegotiate NAFTA. Who knows what that means? Tax reform is clearly delayed. Congress is too busy witch hunting to have time to do serious healthcare, tax reform, infrastructure. All these things require a lot of time and effort, a lot of work. And if you're gonna spend all day running around in circles over the shriek-o-meter, you're gonna have a problem. Mueller has been appointed as the special counsel on the Russian investigation by the Department of Justice. Why? Is this good or bad? Question mark. Any special counsel is bad. It's bad because it's more time and money on something that will add no value. There's no there on the whole Russian investigation, but it could go in many places and it could take a great deal of time. Mueller used to run the FBI, started 1 week before 9/11, and he left 12 years later after all aspects of that operation had been affected. And to this day, people still believe that 20 guys, most of whom are still alive in Saudi Arabia, did 9/11. So, was Mueller somebody you want to trust? Mueller is the deep state. So, and certainly I never heard of him investigating the $3.3 trillion that was missing and announced to be missing right before 9/11 happened. Or I don't hear of him investigating the money that went missing in the Middle East wars during his term. So, but Mueller now controls most or all of the files grabbed from Comey's office. One of the problems with the surprise firing is Comey's out of town and DOJ rushes in and grabs all his files. And of course, all of Washington freaks out because they know inside those files is a treasure chest of information on the Washington establishment. So of course, the big issue is who's going to get to control those files. And now they put the lid on them. I think it was a terrible mistake for Sessions to recuse himself from the Russian investigation, and ultimately it's going to cost the taxpayers a lot of money. But it is what it is. It's been done now, and you can see why, given the shriek-o-meter turning this into a huge production. The guys at the Department of Justice, Sessions and his deputies, would want to have somebody to handle it, especially otherwise it's going to bury the line. It's the same issue I talk about with having war games. You don't want to get your line management buried. Now, subsequent to the special counsel appointment, once Comey's files were tucked away under Mueller's control, the Democratic leaders had a press conference to try and cool talk with impeachment. The translation means they figure they have a lid to keep enormous amounts of their dirt under wraps for the next 4 years, is my interpretation. It's all life and swamp management. Now, what's the most important thing going on in Washington? None of this. What's important is the budget. The White House has said that the new budget will be published, and this is the first published budget of this administration. It will be published next Tuesday, May 23rd. So if you want to understand what reality in Washington is, that budget will tell us a lot. The process will begin with the committees, the subcommittees in the Appropriation Committee going through what they're going to do. And they'll be, as the committees negotiate, they will recess. Big decisions, in my experience, are made out in discussion at the Bohemian Grove and other discussions between leadership behind the scenes. And then the Congress will return after Labor Day, and the houses will be reconciled, and we should have a new budget by October 1st. So between May 23rd and October 1st, this will go through the sausage factory of democracy. And that's where we'll see the real discussions. This process is very real. It's going to impact what money goes to health care, what money goes to tax reform, and how those dovetail with it. This is where the real money gets cut up. So if you want to know more about the budget, sit down and read the budgets. It's enormously interesting and instructive. Or take a look at the article I wrote in 2013 called Coming Clean Beyond the Fiscal Cliff that will describe some of the issues that make it difficult to come to grips with real change in the budget. But this is where the real change is going to happen. And I can assure you, before people started to whack up the budget, they wanted to make sure that those Comey files were tucked away under wraps. Washington is scared. Now, one of the things we see happening is the place-based opportunity taken advantage of. The place-based opportunity is what happens when you get in and re-engineer the money in every one of 3,100 counties. We see Steve Ballmer, former CEO of Microsoft, putting up a website, USA Facts. I recommend it. It's very interesting. There's a lot to learn. And I really commend Ballmer for doing this. I think it's a great idea. Treasury has come out with one like his. It's clearly not as good, but I went and played with it, as did another member of the Solari team. And basically, when we clicked on our place, one guy from Arizona got nothing, and myself in Tennessee, I got very little. So I think it's just in beta, and I would encourage the Treasury to keep on going and keep working on it until it really gets rich. But right now, I would say it's not particularly useful. And then, clearly, there are plenty of investors who understand the place-based opportunity. Buffett continues at his meetings to eat his popsicle and calls the healthcare system a tapeworm. So, there's nothing like imitation is the highest form of compliment. Facebook and Google are teaming up with local media, and so they're diving in. And this is all part of the retreat back into America. Global margins are falling for the big companies, and the question is, how do we go deep in America? Here's the reality. When you lower the energy price, which we're doing, but we can do it a lot more, whether renewables get more efficient or we really institute breakthrough energy. When you bring the energy price down, you make a fortune on the cash flows within a place, or you can, and the real estate. But these guys want very strong mind control in place, and they want to bring the life expectancies down before that energy, drop significantly. That way they can get the equity upside on their centralized and corporate interests. So that's what this is about, making sure that the pro-centralization team grabs all of that equity upside as they bring the energy price down. It's an ugly picture, but that's the reality. But as you see more and more people, we have J.P. Morgan highlighting all the great local things they're doing in Detroit. It's kind of, you just think, their ad team must have not a clue, you know, what they, it's like they get a memory wipe every night. Anyway, but you can see them all kind of swarming in for the place-based opportunity, and that's why I say I think it's going to happen, and it means there's going to be more opportunities locally for a variety of people. Finally, I did write a book review of this new book on Hillary Clinton's campaign called Shattered: Inside Hillary Clinton's Doom Campaign. I do recommend my book review. I don't recommend the book. I think if you read my book review, and I also link to Matt Taibbi's review of the book as well. If you read my review, if you want more, read Matt's review. I think you'll basically get the 411. You don't need to read the book.